CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. We are live. It is Wednesday morning. It's almost the end of October. We're joined by Damon Calvari and Sia Sangweni this morning, and of course you, and you can get hold of us on 0797482090, just like you would WhatsApp anybody else. And you can also catch us on the live stream this morning, viewing if you for some twisted masochistic reason you enjoy the idea of, you know, being punished by having to look at me or Damon or Sia. Although looking at Sia is not the most unpleasant thing, it's the other two that I'm more concerned about. You can do so by going to cliffcentral.com and clicking on the link on the main page. It's that easy.
Sia looks pretty good. In fact, Sia, you could replace that insurance guy who allegedly did GBV.
Oh, God.
You guys look similar, hey? If they were like all, like, what's it, looking for the same type of look.
Yeah.
You're it.
Yeah.
Damon, hey, what do you think?
Damon, Katlego and I do not look similar.
Well, he's not a bad-looking dude. It's not an insult.
It's not an insult.
It's not an insult.
Picture yourself sitting next to somebody in their car and asking silly questions about the insurance while they drive along Chapman's Peak. Hey?
Have you just taken a whole, I said probably two agencies set.
Yeah, they set.
And they conceptualized and they put that together.
If they worked
8 months just to have great timesheets.
Imagine you're out insurance and you're thinking in the box and you don't have any new ideas. Hey, you the man.
Oh, well, listen, do you want to unpack this? Because first of all, Outsurance, as far as I can remember, at least up to a year and a half ago, they didn't even have an agency. So all these great ideas came from within the box. So not outside.
Like the Hirsch's lady.
Yeah. Yes, Margaret Hirsch.
Oh, my favorite.
And then I saw an ad last night, one of the Outsurance. They've just cut Katlego right out of the ad. So now they do the same thing, except they just show the person with the insurance driving. Oh. They've cut him out asking the question.
My last insurance didn't cover me. Oh. My car blew up after 1 week, and I said to my previous insurance, where's my money? And they said no. And then I joined Outsurance. And
you always get
wonderful.
The fuck out.
I never claimed for 6.5 years, and I got my out bonus. And now I can go on holiday to the Beacon Isle.
You know what, Damon? You sound like you could be a very good candidate for the ad as well. So between you and Sia, we've got their bases covered.
Brilliant.
Man. They don't have to miss a beat.
Not for nothing. Not for nothing, but that's a good move for them to work through, because they have a new batch of commercials that they filmed under lockdown. Yeah. So Katlego was somewhere else, and then the customers or whatever were filming alone in the car.
Oh,
so all they could do...
mask was restricting my face, and now I want to sue the mask company. Outsurance, help me.
I was driving along, and my mask slipped from my mouth over
my eyes,
and then I crashed into a tree, and it was terrible, and you know, Outsurance paid, because you always get the fuck out.
Now I kind of want to see one of those. Jesus.
Yeah, you got it. So the new ads have just cut him out completely, like he was never there. They've just, and that's what they're trying to do, is like pretend.
Cutting room floor.
Yeah, they're just pretending he didn't exist, and I think it's so weak. Those ads were never good anyway, so I don't feel like I'm missing anything.
Shame, man. Well, I shouldn't say that, no, because he might be a terrible GBV person, so I shouldn't say shame.
I feel like GBV is your new favorite term, Damon.
Yeah, you like that, huh?
I was thinking about it now. It's actually an inaccurate term. Gender-based violence. The violence is against women, so it should be it's woman-based violence.
It doesn't really make sense. We had a term for this before. It was called woman abuse.
Yes. Why don't they just stick with that?
And it's abuse of women, and that's about as strong as it gets, and that's what you need. This GBV but you know why this has happened, right? It's because
it waters it all down.
No, because the trans community felt like, you know, woman abuse wasn't about them. So There's a lot of language that has changed just because people feel left out, and all it does is it reduces the language. It's really bad. It makes it non-specific. And I heard the funniest thing yesterday. I heard that there's a group of people in the UK. You know, they have this thing called the Night of the Proms, which is an old English or British tradition where they get together at the Royal Albert Hall and they sing songs like Land of Hope and Glory and Rule Britannia, all these kind of old imperial British songs. And they wave their little flags and you know, sort of fat middle-aged people who come into the Royal Albert Hall and sing and they feel like they're part of, you know, Britain, and this is very British. It's a very British thing.
Specifically
to do.
Fat?
Mostly. But what happens is that now this has been criticized because it's too imperial. So there are a whole lot of woke people in Britain who've said, no, we need to come up with new words for Rule Britannia because that's too imperialist. So you can imagine these boring words that they will come up with. Like, you know, when we as the community get together and sing, it's going to be so dreary and so banal and so dumb and so uninteresting that everyone will get together and hold hands and sing that stupid song together. Won't happen, of course. Everyone will stay at home.
But having said that, Gareth, how many people are really interested in this Royal Albert Hall event?
You kidding? It's huge. It's huge. They not only fill the Royal Albert Hall, and they have a massive TV audience. It could even be the biggest TV event in Britain. But it's also, they spill over into Hyde Park, and they've got, I mean, it's just huge. It's like when, what was that? Was it when Princess Diana died and they filled up the parks as well as...
A lot of flowers died as well. There was a lot of flowers on that day.
Your summary of what happened when Lady died.
I never forget her funeral. The amount of flowers that died on that day, it was huge, eh? You'll never see that ever again. Never. Never.
Damon.
Shame.
Damon. Yes. There's a lot on your agenda. There's a lot that you want to talk about.
No, not necessarily. See, it says Damon. Damon, give ideas, and those are purely it's not strict.
I don't know.
It's not strict. It's just a little idea. But I've got another idea that I just thought about now that's not even on the list.
Go ahead.
I was thinking, we're on this live video and people can see us now, right? This Jeffrey Toobin, I don't understand. I'm touching myself right now.
Okay, so he's the guy from...
You don't know that I'm touching myself.
Yeah, but he's the guy from... Let's just explain to everybody because not everyone remembers. So Jeffrey Toobin. Yeah, Jeffrey Toobin was the dude on CNN and he did some other work for a number of publications. And he was like a commentator and analyst and he's been on TV. If you see a picture of him, you'll know who he is. Anyway, okay. he was on a Zoom call with the rest of the team, and they were busy figuring out like something around American politics and which team was which and how they would deal with questions and answers and comments. And then he was having a go and masturbating furiously right on the camera, you know.
Oh.
And having a time. I mean, the guy was just going crazy.
And then his penis appeared on camera.
Yeah, horrible, shriveled little old man's penis.
I'm sure it was quite firm. What I don't understand is how I'm sitting right now on camera. I'm touching myself now.
Yeah.
You don't know that I'm touching myself. I don't understand.
Yeah, but
how did his penis get on camera? Did he stand up?
I assume that you're always touching yourself anyway.
Not at all.
No, having been in your actual company before the days of Zoom and video conferencing, I know that you would often scratch your ass and you move your package from left to right or whatever. You are that. You're a very let me try and say this. You respond to nature. If you have an itch somewhere, you're like an ape. You kind of go straight for it. So
I wasn't aware of that, to be honest.
Yeah, well, you're not aware. I mean, you're not even aware of other people around you. I've seen you. You have very, very low spatial awareness, Damon.
The point is, was Jeffrey Toobin standing? Is that's the only reason?
I think he angled his computer like this, so you could see
really?
What was going on. Yeah, you could
let
see
me do,
what was going
Let
on.
Me do that. No, I can't even do that.
No, and then maybe he was sitting a little back.
Yeah, so he would have been doing this. He would have been moving back, and then let's all try there, and then he'd...
Yeah.
Okay. No,
you can see the crotch.
Anyway.
You can see the crotch, Eric.
Yeah, anyway.
You know, either way, this is so... Oh, I have to move this chair. This is so amateurish because, that was very pornographic.
I reckon a sex therapist or a sex expert would be able to actually explain the whole pathology behind it all.
Yeah.
It's definitely some kind of a sex pathology phenomenon. I'm sorry, it has to be. Like he wants to be caught, the thrill of doing it while you talking to people. It's a whole thing. And that's what they're not looking at.
I call
it's,
that.
It's more. It's interesting.
You mean that he almost wanted to be caught? Because that's what happens with a lot of these people.
I think it's a secondary thing. I think the primary thing is the thrill.
The thrill
of you don't know that I'm masturbating.
And maybe there were attractive girls from work on the call as well at CNN or whatever, and that was what triggered him. Because you know, I'm not going to. I've never had the desire or the compunction to think about sexual stuff while I'm in a meeting with our people because, you know, that's not what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. You control yourself.
And it wasn't like he was just bored. I mean, you have to do quite a lot of premeditated thinking to – I mean, this is not
– It depends. If you're 18, you get it up like this. Not a problem. Hey, Sia, you know, wasn't that long ago. But when you get to a certain age, that takes a lot of concentration, and you can't be focusing on your meeting, that's for sure.
Well,
you need to be visualizing. Maybe you got your phone on the side looking at visuals.
Mm.
You know?
Anushka says, Damon kind of looks like Jeffrey Toobin. That's not fair. You don't look like Jeffrey Toobin.
No.
That's silly, Anushka.
Nice to see you, Mr. Calvari, says Robert, looking freshly shaved. So, Damon, well done for dressing up this morning.
I actually did specially shave, yes.
Mm. Yeah,
very
good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Me and Sia did a test yesterday to make sure I know how to work all this. And Sia, you saw I was unshaven. Don't act all coy.
Nitesh said he was sitting at 6:05 on the crapper waiting patiently for us to start the show. Isn't that nice that we've got people who are currently listening? You think Jeffrey Toobin's doing bizarre things. Mm-hmm. There are people currently listening to our show who are sitting, taking their morning dump. Isn't that nice?
Well, do we need to know certain details like that?
No, actually you do. It's actually quite interesting, right? Oh. I've got to be on this show at 6 o'clock in the morning. So I do the calculations and I wake up at 5:40.
Right.
Thinking that's more than enough time to get ready. Well, actually, no. By the time I've got up and fed the dogs, 10 minutes have already disappeared.
Jesus.
Then I feel the urge I need to go and sit on the toilet. And you're thinking, oh my God, I hope this isn't a long set. And you start worrying, and then I want to shower, then I need to shower.
And are you one of those people who you can't actually make a bowel movement when you're nervous?
That's fine.
A lot of people have that. They have that problem.
I've worked out a technique, and a lot of people may not know about this technique. This comes with age and experience. I'm not going to go into detail, but if you're sitting on the toilet making a number two and it's not coming out that well, you actually do the action of holding in, and then you let out again. And for some reason, that actually lets it all out. Isn't that interesting?
Well, Nitesh goes into as much detail as you, says... my bowel movement is tuned to the Cliff Central song. So hurry up. My pins and needles are kicking in. And then a whole 2 minutes later, he goes, it's moving now. Thanks, guys. But Damon is going to give me constipation. Kerry says, nice to see you, Damon Calvari. Good to have you on first thing in the morning. And Peter says, this live video worked well last week, but this week it's on and off, never on time, and then the feed comes and goes. All right. Well, Peter, make up your mind. I mean, if you don't want to watch, you can listen.
Mm. Listen, this video thing is still new, and I'm just asking I'm just worried about one thing. It's nice to innovate and come up with different things to do and experiment and whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm just worried that it might ruin the whole, the whole vibe of just talking. Like, because then you land up being conscious of being a video, and then you land up talking about people commenting on the video.
I'm not that bothered by, you know, as long as I've looked in the mirror and made sure that I brushed my teeth and, you know, kind of done something with my hair and not made it look like it's just got out of bed, then I'm happy. Then we carry on with the show as usual. I don't think it's made any difference to the, you know, to anyone who's listening. I don't think it sounds any different. Yeah. Tandanam says this: morning, guys. Currently suffering from depression, but I'm always cheerful when I listen to you because as an introvert, it's like I have friends in you guys. So that's from Tandanam. So Janet's replied to him already and said, stay strong. There is always someone listening. I know the feeling, and yes, these people are like antidepressants, referring to us.
People can actually talk to each other. I didn't realize that. But it's very good. With the Tandanam depressed person, it's a good sign that you're actually telling people you're depressed. Because most people who actually end it all their friends and family don't even know they're depressed. So it's the fact that you're telling people you're depressed means you're actually not that depressed and you're doing great. Uh-huh. So well done. Am I right or am I right?
I don't know. I'm not an expert in depression. But
no, you don't have to be an expert. You're not an expert on masks and the COVID-19. It doesn't stop you. Let's talk about it. It's true.
Someone commented to me yesterday because I get emails all the time, and they were saying, it's so funny when Damon is on, because as soon as he starts losing an argument, he goes, I feel like we're going around in circles. This isn't entertaining anymore. So I'm not so sure that's right. No.
Is that his go-to? So it seems.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Anyway, so what can I say?
So I haven't seen. Is there actually footage of the Jeffrey Toobin session online?
I must be honest with you. I think about looking for it, and then I forgot about it.
You see, I wouldn't want to see it because it would be like, ooh, titillating or exciting, because I would rather never in my life have to see Jeffrey Toobin's penis. But there is something funny about like watching the other people's reactions. If it's out there, I'm not sure if it is there or not.
Nah, I seriously doubt it because it was a private Zoom meeting, and the Zoom meeting probably wasn't recorded.
Yeah.
Most people don't record Zoom meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, do they?
I don't know.
Anyway, I've looked up.
Hey, Caleb.
I looked up Jeffrey Toobin's penis.
Caleb, are you there?
I've looked up Jeffrey Toobin.
Yes, Darius.
All right, Caleb.
On Google, and Damon, I want images. And
if
it's
Damon will shut up about his boring search results, then you can go ahead. What's on your mind this morning? What are you up to?
Sitting at the office waiting to start the day because we are an hour ahead. So I always try and wake up just in time to listen to you guys from Kurdistan. But I just want to add from yesterday's discussion in terms of being ugly and realizing that one of the things people always think are number one, if you're ugly, people always assume that you can fight because you're probably not clever, because they always assume that the clever ones are not as ugly as well and they can fight. And having played rugby all my life and never been the one that is good looking, people actually get shocked when you decide to resolve conflict in an amicable way, and that is not fighting, because they assume the ugly ones should be okay getting scratches on their faces because they weren't handsome or good looking anyways, you know?
That's amazing. And just hold on. You're conflating ugliness, stupidity, and a desire to fight into the same kind of people.
Saying there's a correlation.
Yeah. Absolutely. All those two are related, like the ANC, ZANU-PF, and corruption, you know?
I got you.
They all come from the same family.
That's great. All right, so listen, I'm very interested. You're in Kurdistan, right?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Are you guys, I know that you're not exactly near there, but are you excited about the Borat movie, and will it be shown in Kurdistan? Because that's quite... It's in Central Asia. I mean, you're in northern Iraq, probably, right?
Yes.
So are people watching Borat, because Kazakhstan is not that far away?
So firstly, the one thing that impressed me about you guys is you actually know where Kurdistan is. I've just had to tell my parents that I'm somewhere close to Dubai. But to answer your question, the Borat movie is going to be watched once the cinemas open, because we're slowly going back to a full lockdown.
You have cinemas in Kurdistan. What's the nearest city to where you are?
So Kurdistan is actually an autonomous region. They have a small capital city called Erbil, which is where I am.
Yes.
But we also share borders with Iran, Turkey, and northern Iraq.
Wasn't Erbil, that was for a short time, it was the capital of ISIS and their caliphate.
Yes, so in 2015, mm-hmm. Some of my colleagues that I work with, right here at the place where I work with, were 20 minutes away from ISIS. And ISIS almost ran over the city until the Americans came in. But it's a safe place now.
Okay.
It's actually the sixth safest city in the world, primarily because of the huge police presence, the checkpoints and the checking. So nobody would dare do anything.
I want to show you something quickly. This will make you happy.
So you played rugby?
Yes, I've played rugby and refereed it as well, Damon.
Oh, what position?
I played hooker, but I've refereed for 9 years now.
Look at this.
What are you doing? What's you doing in Kyrgyzstan?
Do you see what this is?
Oh wow.
See my little Kurdistan. Yeah.
Are you doing a show on flags, Gareth? Have you got all the flags?
No, I'm a very big fan of Kurdish independence. I've been a supporter of Kurdish independence for a very long time, and
I think the Kurds are the
single greatest minority population. They're the biggest minority population in the world that have never been given statehood. And although it is an autonomous region, they are still petitioning the UN and all the other countries in the world.
In five different regions. So you find Kurds in Turkey, you find Kurds in Syria, you find Kurds in northern Iraq, you find Kurds here in Kurdistan. Mm-hmm. And that's
and
particularly...
Little Miss Muffet found Kurds in her way.
Sorry, silly question. It's Kyrgyzstan, not Kurdistan, right?
K-U-R.
I thought so. Okay, so the Kurds still don't have their own place.
Damon, can I help you a bit? Yes. Next time before you come on, let me help you a little bit. There's something that they teach you in vocal school when I did vocal school so that you don't mess up pronunciations. You go unique, New York, New York, unique. Red lorry, yellow lorry, yellow lorry.
Patronizing Caleb. Perfect, Princeton, Paris, Paris, patronizing again.
Okay, all right. Damon, don't argue with my listeners here, all right? We didn't invite you on the show to give people shit. All right, Caleb, thanks very much, dude. I still want you to tell the story of how you had to get to Kurdistan during lockdown because you managed to make it there. I mean, it's the most incredible, like, roundabout journey. I remember you sent me an email about it.
Yeah, let's make a date. Let's make a date. Roundabout probably in the first hour when you guys are able to accommodate me. It took me 8 days, five different countries, eight different towns. It's an adventure on its own that we need to have a chat about.
But one more important question, why do you want to live there? Why are you there? What are you doing there?
So having lived in Namibia for six and a half years and having lived there and worked there after graduation, I felt that I wasn't growing. It became this routine of the same thing over and over again. And just to do something to spice up my life, and to add to something that's bigger than myself, I thought I would do this. Not that I would want to always stay here. It's a bridge in my life that I'm crossing. And then once that is done, I'll go do something else as well. Like you live every day, right? And you die once.
So you just wanted to spice up your life.
Have you got a...
I'll just make a good chicken korma, but okay.
Okay. Caleb, you don't have a video there, do you?
Maybe I'm as tech illiterate on web Gemini like everybody else.
Yeah.
Where do I find how to switch on the video?
It looks
on the top.
Oh, Damon, you take over. Go on.
There we go.
All right, very good.
Okay.
Good stuff, man.
Oh, look at
at least we can put a face to the name. Awesome.
So you were a hooker and a riff. Okay.
Oh, right. Yes.
All right, dude.
Damon, never fight the only thing that could unite South Africa in 2019. Life is a game, but rugby and Siya Kolisi and the Springboks are serious.
All right, dude. All right, very nice. There we go. That's Caleb, who joins us live from Kurdistan. Don't tell me we don't go to interesting places. Okay, a few people online now.
He's still staring at us, Gareth.
Yeah, but he'll go now. Just give him a second. He's trying to figure out what the hell's happening.
Elaine. Bye, Damon.
Bye-bye. Elaine wanted to know about the Kurdish Peshmergas and all the rest, but we don't have time now. We've got to get to headlines. But at least she knows something about Kurdistan. Mapelo says, Gareth, aren't those brown books behind you the same type of book?
These ones.
Yeah, that's a set of encyclopedias that got me through high school. That's why they're so special to me. I used to read those things. I'd get into bed and I would read just from some point in the book. I'd find out, about stuff that I'd otherwise never have known, because they're just in alphabetical order. You learn something about everything by the time you're through a single book of the encyclopedia set. Loved it.
That's exactly why I still have my old Cosmo magazines.
No, you're right. Exactly. Same thing.
I had World Book, and there was Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah.
What particular brand or make or publication is that one?
This is Encyclopedia Britannica.
Oh, is that? Okay. I had World Book, so I don't recognize that.
I met someone who was at Varsity with me last week. We had a drink. He's now in charge of Jonathan Ball Publishers, and he was telling me about the official Oxford Dictionary, which is now a number of volumes, right? Because you can get the sort of small version that you buy at the shops. But they're doing the last print of the Oxford Dictionary, the whole set. I want that so badly. So he's going to see if he can organize me some. Yeah, because that would be like 24 volumes or something. And it's got every word in the English dictionary, and this is the last set they will actually print.
Oh.
Yeah. See, that kind of thing. That's interesting to me, because you look that up. And I like the feel of a book. I can use the internet, clearly. I mean, anybody can. I know a lot of really stupid people who can figure their way around the internet. But a book, it just feels different to me. I love books. I've got no more space in this house for books. God knows where I'll put them when I get the Oxford English Dictionary, but I'll find a place. All right, Damon, please say the name of the famous pianist, the famous gay pianist in the 70s.
I've got a blank.
L-I-B.
Liberace.
Say it again.
Liberace.
Okay, because
Shivesh
wanted you to say it, because I think Shivesh was hoping that you would say Liberace, which is what you used to say.
Oh, Liberace.
It's amazing. It's amazing what people like.
Good word.
All right. Very good.
Okay. What other words should we do?
Just one other thing. Dave says, why do people like Damon leave the teaspoon in the mug when they drink their tea or coffee?
I didn't know that was a thing.
No,
it is a thing, and I've never had an accident where it's poked me in the eye. Yes, it is a thing.
Great. No, as in a thing either way. Like, does it really make a difference if your teaspoon is in?
It's considered, if you leave the spoon in the tea or the cup, it's considered, for want of a better word, you don't have good etiquette. You don't have good manners. It's like a table manners issue. So I'm uncultured. I'm uncouth.
We knew that already. I mean, what's the big deal?
Yeah. So the thing is, I like to stir quite often. Yeah. I don't know. I just like it in the cup. I think the idea is I don't want to take the spoon out, because if I take it out, it's got tea on it. It's got moisture, and it's going to dirty something.
Oh.
I think that's maybe the thinking.
But you're okay as a repository for filth and dirt. Your body's fine, right?
What do you mean my body's fine?
Well, like
my
body's clean. So you would rather keep the mess in your mouth with respect to the extra tea off the teaspoon, if you know what I mean.
No, well, he says he will create a mess if he puts the teaspoon down on something.
Yes, I don't want to create a mess. I want to keep it contained within the mug.
Does Bernice have anything to do with this anti-mess movement in your house?
No, this is this is a thing that came naturally.
Okay.
And Bernice, and it's amazing. I don't know whether it's me, whether I've worked on her, but she's become less and less obsessive compulsive over the years.
Wow, that's good news. That's improvement.
Mess has become not as, she doesn't get into an anxiety temper, like aggressive thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's toned down. It's quite amazing.
Well, that's very good news. Excellent. All right, we are joined this morning by Damon Calvari, Sia Sangweni, and of course by you. And you can send us a message if you'd like on 0797482090. You can watch us live. You can listen to us live. And if you don't have time for that, you can catch up on the podcast a little bit later on, because people are getting back to work and traffic is definitely improving and increasing. I don't say improving because that's never going to happen. Sia and I had to go into the studio last night, the TV studio, to record. Mm-hmm. Quite late. Did you notice how quiet the roads are at night and how many police there are?
No. Well, I didn't see any police. No, well, what are you talking about?
I left the ENCA studios at 10 o'clock last night, and mm-hmm. I was stopped three times by Metro Police, just checking licenses and three different roadblocks or three different places where the cops pulled me over and checked my license. And yeah.
Three times in one trip.
That's
bizarre. I've been stopped maybe three times in my whole life. No,
it made me think that either they don't have enough work to do, you know, there's not enough going on, or that they're looking for bribes because they've been bored during lockdown, or that
it also is the end of the month.
Yeah, or that's also a good point. I didn't think of that. Or that because of lockdown, most of their business, in inverted commas, happens before 12, you know, with the curfews and everything. Because I've never seen so many cops on the road as last night.
They are
shutting down these parties and, you know, arresting drunk drivers and all the rest of it. So I suppose that's
I often think, why are they stopping people or certain people? I'm sure there's a certain demographic or profile that they stop certain people. I see mostly black people are stopped more than white people. I mean, that's just... my perception.
Damon, you know that 80% of the population happens to be black. So if you didn't stop more black people than white.
But 80% of the population are not driving.
Well,
it's mainly white people that are driving.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not mainly white people. There's still a proportionality to it. There may be, you know, fewer in total who have cars. Mm. But we're a big car nation. People, as soon as they can afford a car,
I've never noticed. Yeah.
I never get stopped. I think it's because I always smile and wave at them, so they think a criminal wouldn't smile and wave.
Well, they think you're a criminal, they think you're some kind of idiot.
I look innocent.
Oh, is that so? Is that so?
Yeah, you look innocent.
And my side view mirror is bashed up.
Listen,
so they think,
we're way late for headlines. Let me get through these quickly and tell you what's going on in the world. Two station commanders in Gauteng have been arrested for allegedly contravening the Firearms Control Act. This is interesting. The arrests of two brigadiers bring to 28 the number of suspects arrested in the matter, of whom 17 are police officers and the rest civilians. Among those in custody are alleged gang bosses arrested earlier this year. So what happens is, and this is in both Gauteng and in the Western Cape, the two station commanders will appear in the Kempton Park Magistrates Court on Wednesday. It was linked to firearm license applications in Gauteng, which were fraudulently issued. So they are clamping down, and that's interesting, especially for a lot of the people who are firearm owners who listen to us. I went to go and get mine renewed. What a nightmare. I mean, I don't know whether it's going to be processed or not, and who the hell can tell. And then one of the suspects in the Senzo Meiwa murder case is accusing the police of playing dirty. You know, they've suddenly arrested five people for Senzo Meiwa's murder.
Thank you for using the word suddenly, because it just seems out of nowhere the story's back all around us.
Well, none of them are Kelly Kumalo. So that's good news for her, because, you know, people were talking about how she was.
I've got to just let my dogs bear with me. I'm not being rude.
Okay. Jesus.
Keep the door a little bit open, please.
Shit.
Will the dog scratch? Sorry about that. Very unprofessional.
So they've arrested these five people, and accused number five, Sfiso Ntuli, says that the police initially said they were arresting someone called Butelezi, but later apprehended them. They refused to step into the dock at the Boksburg Magistrates Court, claiming that they're being made scapegoats. Now, this sounds very, very curious. The policeman, according to them, is being dodgy. He arrived at the place where they live, which is called Kala Kabusha, and asked for Butelezi, saying he wants to be they want to charge him for this crime. And Duli said, he said, Butelezi is connected to the crime, but today he's calling us. He's here. I'm not talking about someone who isn't here. Miyu was shot dead 6 years ago, and they're suddenly going to make a breakthrough? I want to see the evidence that appears in court with this.
Well, they say they've got the murder weapon. They say they've matched ballistics. It's such a bizarre story because how can it take 6 years? It's really something weird going on.
I think the Senzo Miyu murder has become such an embarrassment for the police that, you know, it proves that they can't even track down a high-profile murder cases suspects like this that shows you that how incompetent the police are. Now suddenly they're doing something. So as far I also think this is dodgy. I don't believe it for a second. We'll have to see what comes up in court.
No.
And you don't make a breakthrough and get one person, you know, after really struggling, you get
five. No, hang on. I never said that I don't believe what's happening. I'm saying I would like to know the background. I would like to know what's been going on, why it's taken all this time to apprehend these people. And the case is so strange because at the time when he was shot dead, they said there were X amount of people in the house at the time. They said there were five other people in the house at the time. So it didn't make any sense that nobody had anything to say. What they were witnesses. Why did these witnesses not have anything concrete or anything? It doesn't make that's where it didn't make any sense.
So let's see, because you know they'll have to prove something in court, and if the police are doing what they usually do, which is falling over their own feet, I wouldn't be surprised if this thing gets thrown out in the opening moments of the case.
Well, they say that the trigger man, the person who actually pulled the trigger, is a so-called hit man.
Okay.
He's not some random dude.
Well, then we've got to find out what the motives were and all the rest of it. But we'll get to that, I'm sure.
That's the thing. I don't know if we ever will.
Well,
maybe it had something. Maybe there's something really deep and nefarious. Maybe it had something to do with sports betting or drugs or who.
These conspiracies are now getting a little.
And also, no, it's not being conspiracy. I'm just giving examples. I'm not saying.
Thanks very much, David Icke.
And one more thing, Kelly. Like for example, Kelly Kamala. All these years, why has she never ever said anything? She's never said anything, which doesn't make any sense.
What do you want her to say?
I'm not being conspiratorial.
No,
I'm saying
not at all,
I'm
David Icke.
I'm just saying there's a whole lot of scenarios. Hey, you gave me a tougher time than you gave David Icke. I mean, in all fairness,
interim,
I'm just giving examples. I'm not saying what I believe. I'm giving examples of scenarios.
Interim DA leader John Steenhuisen has likened those accused of COVID-19 corruption to a pack of hyenas feeding off a helpless dying springbok. On Tuesday, MPs debated a Steenhuisen-sponsored debate around COVID-19 corruption in the National Assembly. And that was the metaphor that he used. He added that the DA from
hyenas don't drive fancy sports cars, man. Just animals.
You know it's a metaphor, right?
It's a metaphor, but you're giving hyenas a bad name. I know it's a metaphor, but I'm just thinking this whole COVID corruption, it's so evil and it's so bad that, come on, we've got to have a stronger, more powerful metaphor.
Okay, like.
Well, you come up with one.
I don't know.
Okay.
you criticize that one.
It was just a theory on metaphors. Okay.
Well, that's all there is on that one. I mean, I'm not going to carry on because it's such a bad metaphor. Philadelphia has been rocked by fresh unrest after a police shooting, yet another police shooting. This is how many days before the election. Police reinforcements as well as the National Guard have been deployed. Officials say 30 officers were hurt in the first night of clashes. Police say officers opened fire on Walter Wallace, who's 27, when he ignored orders to drop a knife he was holding. Now, can we just be clear once and for all? Because as evidence has emerged since the George Floyd killing, that it is actually a very rare and not particularly common occurrence for an unarmed black man to be shot by police. It really is. There were 9 people in the whole of 2019, 9 unarmed black men who were shot by police, not all of whom were innocent, if you know what I mean. So this is all, again, a narrative which is being pushed, and you can see the media reporting on it, because here we have 30 officers who've been hurt and one man who was shot when he ignored orders to drop a knife. Now, the sensible thing to tell people is that if the police try to arrest you, do not resist. Follow their orders and you'll survive. There is a very high probability that everyone will emerge unscathed from this if you just go along with the police. You can always accuse them of brutality or whatever else when you survive and end up in a situation afterwards where you can lay an official complaint. You know, better that than to die by not letting go of the knife when they're telling you to let go of the knife. I don't understand this. Mr. Wallace
okay,
is...
So,
yeah?
Okay, so you're saying that this whole thing, this whole narrative, this whole thing that there's unfair police violence against
that there's
black
systemic,
males...
There's systemic racism in the police.
It's systemic racism in the police is a complete... being blown out of proportion.
Yeah, I think it's a fabricated and convenient narrative for organizations like Black Lives Matter, which need a certain supply of racism, and there's a massive demand, but the supply is quite low. And
why do they need it?
Because that's the whole reason for them to exist. Why else would Black Lives Matter exist?
And it's okay. Why do they feel the need to exist?
Well, they are. They're also funders of Democratic candidates in Senate and presidential races. And they're a movement. It's a political movement. You can go to their website and you can see what they're all about. So
it's a political movement because they feel it's a genuine need.
No, well, it's pretended to be that. And the name of it, Black Lives Matter, is something which no one's going to argue against. Who is their enemy? Who are they actually railing against? Who are their
the white man?
Okay, well, in that case, then I mean, I have nothing more to say.
Why don't you have anything more to say? So you say it's not a legitimate movement at all. It's all bull.
The idea that Black Lives Matter is obviously an idea which all of us can agree is important, and of course Black Lives Matter, but the organization is turning more and more into a joke, because we know that they're intensely political and has nothing to do with black men being gunned down by police, because the numbers there are very, very small. It's 0.0002% of the black population that are subjected to this kind of police violence and brutality. So that doesn't seem like a big enough number for it to be creating the kind of consternation that it is in America. And don't think for a second that this organization, Black Lives Matter, is not fomenting this kind of division and this kind of opprobrium without some agenda. Their agenda is intensely political and has nothing to do with the victims of police brutality. That is evident for anyone to see just by looking at the numbers.
Unfortunately, you see, you're a numbers person. You're a data analytical research person. Thing is, people get emotional. So all like these shootings and these murders of black men in America, you know, people have put it on video. Sure. People have put it on social media.
Well,
so it creates this whole thing. So
First of all, it's just been a natural thing. Yeah, I cannot be responsible for your emotional reaction to things. And just because you're emotional about something doesn't make you right.
Yes, but just because you're a data research guy doesn't make you 100%
no,
right.
No, it does make me right if I'm following the numbers. And you know how, for example, people will say, well, with COVID, let's listen to the science. The science will tell us what to do, right? So either you,
well,
either
that,
you go with
the, I wouldn't say yes or no on that, because there's science. There's one type of science and there's other types of science. You have to ask yourself, who are the credible, respected scientists? You raised the example. Sometimes we don't know who
they
are.
So if we're going to just go with how people feel about something, let's not even bother asking the scientists. Let's just take what people's emotional reaction is.
No, but hang on.
Figure that into how we deal with COVID.
You're onto another topic. You're onto a slightly different topic.
It's the same thing.
I'm saying you say that scientist A and there's scientist B. How do we know who are actually the credible, trustworthy scientists?
Again, forget the scientists and their opinions. Look at the numbers. Mm. We've lost less than 20,000 people in South Africa. Did lockdowns work? Did they make any difference? Compare our 20,000 we've lost with the number of people lost in a country that had an extremely hard lockdown, like Paraguay, or a country that had virtually no lockdown. And you can choose, you know, the state of South Dakota in America, or you could choose Sweden, and you will be able to see very clearly that lockdowns make absolutely no discernible difference to the death rate. Now, you may talk about infection rates and all kinds of other things to muddy the waters, but it seems to me that's a fairly even-handed and obvious scientific comparison.
No, no.
No, because what? No. It's about people's emotional reaction to COVID.
No, I'm not moving. This is not emotional now. This is just research. Research can be, you can research and come up with different results. It's okay, also so, open to,
all right,
you've got to interpret the research. You've got to interpret the research.
Okay. Can I give you, you're smashing every data point here with the idea that we can't trust it. So what do you trust?
That's the thing. You don't know.
Okay, it's like, your whole argument is we have no way of trusting anything, so don't trust anything, so let's just sit here and mumble about it.
I'm saying keep an open mind and also use common sense.
It seems to me that you're saying you can't solve a problem. That's what it seems to me you're saying.
I'm saying is that
you don't want to solve police brutality against black men, and you don't want to solve COVID.
You guys are talking over each other, so we can't hear you.
I'm saying you can't be an expert in everything, guys. And leave it the experts. That's what I'm saying. So you can't just like, for example, you had that that actuary guy.
So you're providing me with no useful information at all, except to say that the information which I have gleaned as someone who can read is not useful. That's what you're telling me.
I'm saying you're not qualified.
You want to kill people with lockdowns.
You're not qualified to interpret the information, and I'm saying that I would rather listen to the experts. I would rather listen to the respected experts. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
Name one.
You know what I'm sensing here? I'm just sensing there's a lot of opprobrium going on.
Yeah, I love that.
I don't even know what opprobrium means.
Damon?
I just learned it 2 seconds ago as well.
Damon, name the expert you're listening to. Who's this God King that you're paying attention to that we should all be listening to?
Just the normal... Just the recognized people that
give me
are
a name.
On TV.
Give me a name.
Well,
otherwise you're just talking in circles.
I'm Minister of Health.
Azwelli Mkhize is an expert, is he?
Well, he's more of an expert than you and I.
Oh, really?
And Dr. Fauci in America.
Dr. Fauci, right? The guy who said don't wear masks back in March. That guy.
Gareth, when you say something back in March,
Damon,
let's deal with what people are saying now.
I'm giving you, please. Are you going to deny that he said don't wear masks in March?
He may have said it, but that was back in March.
Then he lied to us.
He may have said that back in March, but things changed.
Well, you're allowed. I suppose you can reserve the right to be gullible and stupid, but I'm not going to.
No, Gareth.
Let's move on. We've got to fit in
some more. With all due respects, Gareth.
You don't have to say with
all due respects. You're not an
expert.
Listen to the experts.
And I'm asking you who these experts are, and you're giving me Azwelli Mkhize and Anthony Fauci?
Gareth, I don't memorize every single doctor's
your
and professor's
standards. Name. Well, if they're so important and so trustworthy, maybe you should, because it would make your case a little more credible.
Why are countries around the world increasing their lockdown? Why are people still wearing masks? I mean, what's going on?
Because they're all wrong, and now they're doubling down on how wrong they were, because politicians never admit when they're wrong. They are doubling down. Politicians, if they admit that they're wrong, Damon, they end up losing at the next vote. That's what happens. So politicians will always say they made the right decision. Have you heard Cyril say anything about how potentially lockdowns could have been the wrong idea? Of course not. You think Azwelli Mkhize is going to come out and say, lockdowns, well, maybe we shouldn't have done that.
What's her name who writes for the Daily Maverick? Marion Tam. She wrote a very good article about 2 weeks ago.
Is she an expert?
She said, no, but she's intelligent.
So you'll listen to her, and she can have an opinion in the Daily Maverick, but when you and I are discussing it, I'm not given any credence.
Because
I'm not Anthony Fauci or Azwelli Mkhize.
She gives a viewpoint that makes sense to me, Gareth. It's that lockdown is needed, but not the lockdown that we got.
Oh.
So our lockdown was ridiculous. It was too hardcore. You do need a certain degree of lockdown. Now, if only 20,000 people in South Africa have died of COVID-19, how can you turn around and say lockdown didn't work? It's like saying the polio vaccine got rid of polio, but the polio vaccine didn't work. Your logic doesn't make sense.
I'm really interested in you just dismissing the fact that many people have killed themselves because lockdowns got them unemployed or caused problems in their relationships or isolated them, and you just don't care.
How do you know that?
Well, it sounds like it. I mean, you're an expert.
No, you just made a statement. How do you know so many people have committed suicide because of lockdown?
All right.
Suicide is a general problem anyway.
I know experts who will say that you're wrong. Plenty of them. I'll list them for you.
And I'm just glad I got a word of the day.
What was your word of the day?
Opprobrium. All right.
Harsh criticism.
Shivesh says, you guys have the same argument every time Damon is on. Yeah, because he's one of those people who thinks lockdown worked. He thinks...
No, I did not say that. I said the lockdown was a bit overzealous, but we still needed some form of lockdown. Why do you think only 20,000 people have died of COVID in South Africa? Masks, washing hands, social distance, lockdown.
Sure. Go and look at the...
Think about it logically.
You brought up Nick Hudson from Panda. Go and look at their
web. He's an actuarial scientist, for God's sakes. He's not a health expert.
Neither is Fauci. You know Fauci's a virologist. You know that. He's not an epidemiologist. Yes. You know that.
Well, at least he's got some medical experience.
Oh, okay. But then so does Dr. Jonathan Witt, who works with Panda. You know him.
Jonathan Nitz is a nut. I'm sorry. What credibility has he got?
What credibility do you? Honestly, he's got more than you. He's a qualified doctor. He operates on people. He's an anesthesiologist. What do you have?
He's very right, Damon Calvary.
What letters are behind?
He's very right wing.
Oh, okay, so you don't like
Jonathan
his opinions.
Woods is very right-wing.
So you don't like his opinions. That doesn't in any way diminish his credibility, and he's certainly more credible than you.
He's got no credibility.
None. He has none at all.
Gareth, Marion Tam
and Damon Calvary have more credibility than Jonathan Witt, who's a doctor.
Well, most definitely.
Okay.
Just because you're a doctor doesn't mean you're a good doctor. Okay. He's obviously forgotten a little bit about virology and epidemiology.
Am I glad that you are not our Minister of Health, because we'd all be dead. You and Marion Tam and Zweli Mkhize could be running things. It would be fantastic. We'd save so many lives.
Gareth, can I just give an example on research?
Go on.
Research.
I'm going to give a way out example
just to illustrate how research isn't always correct. There was a radio station 6 or 7 years ago that did research.
All you're doing is undermining the argument for science here. Do you realize that? By saying research is always wrong, certain experts are right and others are not.
I said research. It can be misinterpreted, Gareth. Gareth, there's a radio station that just changed its brand. Looks like a swastika. 702. They did research and that's what they came up with. That was their interpretation. A radio station did research years ago and wanted you to do an 8 o'clock morning show. Research is open to interpretation. Things can get quoted out of context. It's what you do. I'm sorry, you can't, just because something
Damon,
was researched do you understand, doesn't mean that it's right.
You do understand the difference between researching people on what their opinions are for a rebranding of a radio station or what they might want to listen to, which is all about their opinions, and research which involves scientific inquiry, experimentation, conclusions due to the experiments, and predictions about how those models might work in the future. You do understand those are two different things. Market research is not the same as research that scientists...
Very, very, very good point. But it's still...
It's still the same principle of interpretation. In your head, you've...
It's still interpretation. Then why, if this Nick Hudson and Panda are so brilliant,
you know Panda,
why isn't anybody listening to them?
You know Panda have got Harvard professors who advise them. I mean, I'm just saying Panda as an example.
So why are governments not listening to them if they're so wonderful?
Damon, why aren't governments listening at all over the world? I'll tell you why, because for governments, it's all about blame. They are so worried that if they make the wrong decision, they'll be blamed for death. So what they do is they make a decision that will make them at least less blamable by the end of this. So lockdowns, for example, show that they're pretending to do something so that they can't be accused of not caring about the – you know how people were attacking Sweden, for example, in the opening months of this pandemic, saying, oh, the death rates in Sweden. You see Sweden, the government there have blood on their hands because they didn't lock down. And it turns out – according to all the available research, and I'm not an expert because I'm not an epidemiologist, but I read a lot, which puts me in a position to be able to make a calculated assessment of this as an ordinary person. And everyone should be encouraged to do this, because if you just listen to experts, just like you go to two doctors if you're about to have a big operation and you get a second opinion, otherwise you're a moron, you're going to be led down the garden path. You go and you look at the stuff yourself, and it is incontrovertible now that lockdowns have done more damage, and there are even government people in the world who are starting to acknowledge this, that this stuff has done. The World Health Organization the other day had one of their doctors, Navarro, say that he thinks that lockdowns have done nothing but plunge people into poverty.
Okay, great example. I forwarded you that article.
Yes,
he was quoted out of context.
No, he wasn't quoted out of context. What happened?
He was quoted out of context. Damon,
remember that the WHO is a political organization. This is one of the doctors who work in there who does the research for them. And he was asked a straightforward question, and he gave a straightforward answer. What happened was that Tedros and the political people who run the WHO did damage control because they realized that what would happen is that people would take this Dr. Navarro's very honest and sincere answer, and they would say, listen, if you're following lockdowns, you're going to hurt the people of your country.
So there was political pressure. I actually saw it for myself.
Rebellious races on that.
All right, listen, it's 7 o'clock.
That Damon. Navarro actually said.
It's 7 o'clock. Let's let Navarro.
Navarro said that lockdown is not a good idea. It damages the economy.
Damon. I'm going to shut him up.
Rebellious Ruth has something.
All right, so Ruth, you want to say something?
How's it, guys? Wait.
Make it quick, please.
The truth is there are two streams of thought here or identification. I haven't seen my mother since March. She's stuck in an old age home, okay? They allow people, contractors, in and out. It's unfair. She will rather take her chances with this virus than be stuck in a prison at this stage.
Right.
And it's enough. It's enough. People need to grow some balls and just deal with it. Because I know little old ladies who are missing out on their lives because they're stuck in old age homes.
Yeah. Who wants to live like that?
Not at all.
No.
Not at all.
I'm with you. I'm glad you called in. Sorry we've got to rush it, but we've got to get to the second hour of the show. Thank you very much, Ruth. Damon will carry on in the next couple of minutes. Cliffcentral.com. We've also got plenty of other stuff. I know Sia's got some things that he wants to talk about. And we're going to speak to Marika Haywood, who is from Lotto Land. I got locked out of my own account yesterday. I was trying to place a bet, so I'll ask her what the hell's happening there. And then we've got plenty more. So your thoughts and calls and your comments on 0797482090. I love it when people call in like Ruth did or like Caleb did earlier this morning. So if you want to get hold of us, you can do that by using the little speak button. If you're watching us live, it's at the bottom of the list on the right-hand side. Speak, you put your hand up like in class when you were 12. And then Sia will let you in. That's how it works. All right, cliffcentral.com, just after 7 o'clock. Good morning.
Cliffcentral.com.